This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Go closing ceremonies, Flagtober 2024. Welcome into hour number one of the GBAC Nation. We find ourselves at one of the proud Flagtober sponsors, Whataburger here, Grand Prairie location off of 161, 2631-61, right by the Whataburger. General at your service. Salute to you, Addies. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy Scout, NFL executive. Lucius Alexander is setting off on a flawless five-hour journey of radio producing, engineering, and hosting. He is in the Pimp Cup, doing his best to keep the Gators down. You have Woolchuck and Chia follow. You have Carter Freeman coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the GBAC Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Gentlemen, welcome into the show. How the heck are you?
Doing great. I'm at Whataburger, man.
Yeah, I mean, hard to be better.
Yeah, this is phenomenal.
The peppermint shake that Brian and I crushed there is going to be released Tuesday. They gave us a sneak preview, and it was outstanding. So you have that to look forward to.
Iced coffee as well. Fantastic.
Delicious.
It is.
Delicious. Home run. Not a robbed home run. Not an interfered with home run either, Woolchuck.
No fan interference here.
I like what Brian Broaddus is wearing. He looks like he could, with the headset on, he could go take orders right now behind the counter, and that Whataburger cut off
That's a well-oiled machine back there working.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get in the way of that. I do love Travis, our Whataburger rep. The Pearl Snaps.
Yeah.
You know me and my Pearl Snaps.
Oh, perfect. Yes.
Whataburger's got a website with all the stuff you can order and things. Man, this is just part of it, though. So if you see the shirt, you can get the shirt.
We probably already blown out 15, 20 flags, I'd say. So I don't know. I would eyeball it or guesstimate it at around 80 flags remaining. And once they're gone, Flagtober is officially concluded. Mm. But, of course, we will have delicious Whataburger food and beverage with you in fellowship all afternoon. And we hope you can make it by. Okay, so last night, Cowboy stuff happening, a rule that podcasters not allowed to go into the locker room hit. I thought that was one of the more interesting stories, and includes their own streaming platform at DallasCowboys.com.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be able to go into the locker room anymore? Or those reporters can't do it?
No, because I work with 105.3 The Fan, so that's the way. But, yeah, I am part of that podcast team, but there's quite a few. But there's a lot of former players on that list, too. I think what we're in the situation now is – the NFL is, you know, they're, remember the story we did several weeks ago about the Players Association asking that locker rooms be monitored a little bit better. I think this is the first step along the way here that the NFL Players Association, the Dallas Cowboys, and others are trying to say, okay, players, we hear, we understand. We'll try and to, you know, alleviate some of the people in the locker room. And you know, this is where we're at.
Yeah, is it related at all to you know, Jerry Jones getting after the media a little bit?
Is this
increased sensitivity?
Yeah, it's funny how it seems like to me that the Cowboys have kind of been on the wrong end of, oh, by the way, we're going to make this back active, and oh, this one just got sick. It seems like a lot of conspiracy going on. I think this is just the Cowboys looking at a situation where they're trying to help their players. Remember that whole thing, the players are like, there's too much, there's, you know, this, that, and the other in the locker room, and, you know, this is a step, and just talking to some folks over with the Cowboys about it, this is something they're trying to help their players with.
Yeah, I could see that. It's a tough break. I hate to see any members of the media, and I consider the .com crew as credible as anybody.
Yeah.
You know, they're working harder, and they've managed to build careers, and I know a lot of great reporters look at that opportunity in the locker room as their chance to build relationships or get stories that they wouldn't be able to otherwise get.
You know, Dawson, you say that, and I where I am at today is because of DallasCowboys.com.
Yeah.
The notoriety that I've got.
It's a freaking launch pad.
It is absolutely was. You look at the guys like the, you know, Emmanuel Acho doing a show on Fox, David Hellman on Fox.
Coming up at 4 today.
Yeah, myself. I mean, all these kinds of things that, you know, that because you've been on DallasCowboys.com, it's allowed you to be on another platform. And I owe a lot to the DallasCowboys.com for getting me to work with you guys. I mean, I was working part-time with you, all you guys, and then the full-time opportunity became
Fridays
available.
At 1 forever.
Exactly, forever, and we did that. And now, but it's only because of my work with DallasCowboys.com that I had that opportunity.
Okay, so David Hellman is coming up at 4 o'clock. Of course, the NFL on Fox podcast. We'll also have the audio, I think, in the Expressway 530 of Micah and Trayvon talking about the media. Well, Chuck, is there anything you could share with that to kind of set up that conversation?
I mean, I don't know. I don't think that has anything to do with what you're talking about with the podcasters not being able to go in there, but they do kind of allude to, they think that the local media might be a little bit harder when, Trayvon thinks that we should be maybe trying to protect them a little bit.
Okay.
So, we'll play it and get your thoughts during the Expressway there.
There's no doubt sentiment about the Cowboys has turned for the more negative, and reactions, especially since the legends of Michael Irvin, Emmitt Smith, following last year's playoff exit, got so vocal and passionate. But, I kind of see their point, but at the same time, I understand there are media markets around the NFL, the majority of them, that are more difficult on the players than we are.
Yeah. I mean, go to New York, Boston, Philadelphia.
Philly.
Right. I was in that market
in Philly. Sal Palantonio called me a liar to my face.
Yeah. Oh, Sal Pal.
Way
man.
Worse. Now, some of these players are probably also, it's a little bit harsher because there is a ton of fan frustration over now going on 30 years of this team underachieving and not achieving the ultimate goal. And that's not all on these players' fault or the coaching staff's fault, right? But they've got to wear it, and this kind of – I mean, I feel like this is par for the course as a professional athlete. I mean, These college kids are getting criticized as well. I mean
– Is this Cowboy entitlement, like we're entitled to be treated like champions even when we're 3-4?
Earn it.
Yeah.
You know what? If you don't want people to be critical of you, give them a reason not to be critical.
Right, yeah. I mean, the dig stuff, and you'll hear him say it a little bit later, like what Walchuk was alluding to, but you're – This is who you've been since you've been here. Nobody's trying to make something that's not there. This is what you've presented on the field. So it is going to be criticized. And yesterday when we played one of the clips, he's talking about how it was one of the hardest games he's played. It's like, okay, so you're even acknowledging there are times where you don't play that hard. So especially you're a guy who's gotten the bag too.
Yeah.
Like the expectations are high. So, come on now. You're going to have to live up to them, especially when it comes to effort. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to see a little bit more ownership, and I feel like other teams do that when they're failing. Like, we owe better than this. They're booing because we're not playing well, and maybe this is leadership from the top down enabling that kind of a message. That's certainly how I feel about it. But, Brian, as you say, nothing to do with the decision there with the
.com. No, I think this – I think this is something to do with, and again, that's the conversations I've had this morning with folks. It was more about, hey, the Players Association, the players, asking that something be done, and I think this is the first step that we're starting to see from that happened several weeks ago.
Still no Micah Parsons. What's going on there?
Yeah, that's he was
slow healing.
Yeah, it's
tanking.
Yeah, I mean, people were asking me, are they holding him out to work for a trade or something like that? I go, I don't think that's the case. I think this injury is taking a little bit longer than they thought it was going to take, and so yeah, he was with Britt Brown on the rehab group today. Him, Bland. Today's the last day for Bland too. They're going to have to put Bland on the roster.
They did.
Okay, so that's the case with him going on the roster, and so now they're. He'll either play or he'll be an inactive. But yeah, this one, Britt and Mike and the others, they've got a lot of things going on. I reached out to some people over there today, kind of get a handle on the injuries, and they're like, which one you want to talk about? It's an unfortunate thing, but they've had a lot of injuries at the same position, which has been really tough on them.
It was a sprained ankle for Micah?
It was a high ankle sprain. But you could say same thing.
Yeah, and those can take a while. Those can be tender for a long time. Yeah. There's not much you can do about it. There's significant bruising, significant swelling. What would be your reaction, Woolchuck, if you heard that he is in fact out as the Cowboys are working a trade here up to the deadline?
I would be honestly blown away and stunned, but I would overall be happy.
You would have to do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I just want to know, hypothetically.
I'm glad you asked.
You're not getting anything better than trading Micah Parsons, and then that's the most you're going to get in return. So
he's your biggest asset.
Sign me the hell up. Absolutely, he's your best player. So go ahead and trade him, and then we can go ahead and attempt to rebuild this thing.
Well, you've seen now what your football team looks like without him, trying to rush the passer. It's non-existent. I mean, they've brought multiple pressures.
They got like fifth string defensive ends. No, it's not just Micah. It's also there's no Tank. There's no Sam Williams.
No, that's the thing about it. You're absolutely right. See, that's the whole thing about it is, though, that one of your best players. This is where I would go real quickly if I could. What I saw with Overshown on that blitz, I would try and rush him a little bit more. I would try and do Overshown. We saw in that blitz the one sack they had, his ability to quickly get there and wrap up Purdy and then get him on the ground.
The closing speed's pretty amazing.
I would maybe think about a little bit more of him not playing off-ball linebacker and do this. Maybe put his hand on the ground and let him try and attack.
That would be a lot of fun.
You know, just to maybe give you a little pass rush.
I definitely like the idea of him being a blitzer, you know, like Micah would do.
We're going to get into it at 3:40 today corner. And I'm going to tell you about all these things that you can do to beat Atlanta, and you're not going to be good at any of them.
Okay.
I mean, is that a tease?
Copy and paste from last week a little bit.
I mean, that's where we're at right now.
Seriously, that's where we're at.
No Trayvon Diggs today. Undisclosed illness. So hopefully everything's good with him. Okay, Steven, on next week's deadline, business as usual. Got a lot of good players that are going to be coming back over the next 3 or 4 weeks. If the right deal pops itself up, we'll certainly look at it.
Real quick, can I ask you guys a question? Does this very much have a reminiscence of what we did with the Rangers all summer? That we did. Remember every time we looked at, these guys are coming back.
Yeah, but you actually had belief that the Rangers could do it, and with this one, there's really none of that.
We've seen them play with everybody back.
Yeah, but we sat there and we just kept saying, all these pitchers, this guy's – I mean, we kept doing the CY interview,
right.
And we're getting guys back, and the next thing you know, it's August 15th, and we're like, well, we're out of it, boys. Thanks so much for playing. Oh, all that hopium that we sold you during the year that everybody was coming back, well, you know, not so much.
I think the Joneses would like to sell that narrative for sure.
I just wonder, we keep talking about players coming back, and is it going to be too late?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be too late.
Because it was too late for the Rangers, wasn't it?
And Bland's really the only one that you haven't gotten to see. This defense was getting shredded with Micah.
Young took the whole year off, basically, until he came back.
Yeah.
Too late.
Jungle Cat.
Yeah.
Love that guy. The Yankees avoid a sweep by trouncing the Dodgers. Third inning grand slam. Dodgers managed to cut into that lead. They never fully closed the gap, and they eventually let things totally fall apart. So game five is tonight with Gerrit Cole and Flaherty meeting in a rematch of game one. A historic World Series. At this point, I think I'm with a lot of Rangers fans where we just choose to root against the Yankees. You know, we remember what it was like in that reign of terror in the late 90s and early 2000s. And, you know, there's always a big part of me just hoping that the Yankees fail. And these last 14 years have been glorious watching it happen.
But we do appreciate the fact that Brian Cashman, the general manager, came out and threw some big-time shade at the Houston Astros, right?
Oh,
remember, he's like,
love that.
Hey, let's not forget the opportunities we had, but there was that cheating bunch down there in South Texas, And so if you're going to pull for the Yankees, maybe you're pulling for Brian Cashman and what he said about the Astros.
I'm pulling for those fans, man. I love what those guys
You like the fact
night.
That they ripped the ball out of that guy's glove, don't you?
Tenacious, yes. They were going to take Mookie Betts' arm with them.
They grabbed his wrist.
Yes. It was teamwork. They acted like they had been there before. They showed a little something, and I think it lit a fire under their guys. And now those guys are rallying around like, wow, even our fans are willing to lay it all on the line and do everything that it takes, even if it means getting ejected from the game early on in it. Most expensive ticket we've ever seen. No problem. We're trying to win the gosh dang baseball game because we care. Let's do this thing right now. This is their rally moment. This is their moment. This might be the edgy rear end of the Creed moment of the Rangers.
This guy is going to be hoisted.
We're hoisting these fans like we're doing the trophy itself at the parade. These guys are going to be legends forever.
We'll learn more about these fans coming up around the bases.
Good. I'm pulling for these boys.
We'll deep dive on these boys. Is it Steve Bartman?
Bartman. Steve Bartman's going.
It's a Bartman.
Why didn't that happen to me? You know, why didn't that not? You know, why can
it was
I not
the reverse Bartman?
Why can I not rip the ball out of their glove and something like T-shirts in the works, huh?
T-shirts
with these guys' pictures on it,
100%.
Maybe ripping the ball out of their glove.
100%.
Like with Rugi punching the guy in the face.
You're in desperation mode at that point. You have nothing to lose at that point,
except your tickets and maybe ever going to Yankee Stadium again.
And he said that's worth it.
They died on that hill, didn't they?
Yeah, yes. Go back tonight.
Martyrs.
I admire that.
Martyrs. Yeah.
Yankees fans in pure pandemonium is just it's pure October, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
And you know, getting that moment last night or last year
at the his wrist
at the Globe when Corey Seager and Luis Garcia hit those home runs. I always wanted to be in an environment that was similar to that craziness of when they cut to the fans as the ball goes for the home run and they're jumping around and high fiving and popcorn's flying everywhere. Reminded me of last year, man.
Yeah.
It's a special time, and I can't wait till CY restores us to that glory
this year,
as long as Ray participates.
Oh, there we go.
The Mavs were fantastic last night. There's a squad that looks like they could bring a championship to the DF Dub, right? How much more optimistic about taking out Boston are you after this back-to-back trouncing of the Jazz and then the Wolves?
I would say maybe an additional 5%. I think you have the Timberwolves number already, and now they're dealing with new parts, and Anthony Edwards is changing the way he's playing the sport, where he's less about getting to the rim and using his explosiveness and his athleticism, and he's just
hard to get beat up,
jacking up three balls. Yeah, for sure, I get it. I get what he's trying to do there.
13 of them a game, dude.
Yeah,
he is.
Yeah,
throwing it.
He's hoisting it. He's like, I'm gonna just go full Steph Curry on this thing, and we'll see what happens.
He's hitting him. He's hitting him right now.
He's like 22 years old, and he's walking around like he's 40. You see, like at the end of the game, it's like his hip, his ankle, everything's wrong with him.
Yeah,
poor kid's beat up to heck. But
he might want to commit to like some physical therapy and all the stuff.
He needs to get back on the Popeyes diet.
The greats do to take care of their body.
Well, I mean, he literally said in that video the other day when he was talking about how if he lifted weights, he would be as big as Derrick Henry.
Yeah, it's true. He doesn't lift the weights.
That's crazy.
He's talking about playing football with that body. He walks around
like he's not in real shape. Yeah. He's not in real shape. You know, they say he's Jordan, and Jordan around what 26, 27 committed to that. Around the calendar commitment to his body, it helped him take his game to his next level. We knew he was out of shape last year when he couldn't play offense and defense in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Luka with the insane dagger three, Kyrie with something to prove, opening the year just on fire, another 35 for him. And I would just say overall, the Mavs are looking like that focused group that could, dominate a regular season, put them in position to have home court advantage throughout the playoffs in the West and, maybe in the finals as well. I think that's got to be the goal.
Yeah. The text, can't stand those Yankees fans.
There you go. Thank you, text.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, they remember. I wonder what that was like.
Do you think our fans are admiring them for doing that, though, for having that?
Our fans don't even know what it would feel like to stand up with two outs. That's fan 101 landed on the line.
You know what it's like standing up with two outs and spilling like cocktails all over Secret Service agents.
Hey, winning the World
Series.
You'll
do whatever you have to do.
Whatever it takes.
I've sat with you, yes.
Hashtag do your part. I bet Wolchuk would have ripped it out of Betts' hands.
Yep. I was getting frustrated in game five. I was. I thought our fan base needed to get a little bit more angry.
The text is open. How much do you hate the Yankees? How much do you believe in the Mavs? We have questions and takeaways from the Mavs dub. And then the G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30. We are live at Whataburger in Grand Prairie off of 161, 2631-61, your last chance to pick up the iconic 2024 G-Bag Nation Whataburger flag, the most unique, one of the most coveted flags in Flagtober history. And we're back with some more Mavs in the G-Bag of the Day here on The Fan. Here we go. Welcome back, Nation. Whataburger in Grand Prairie here off of 161 by the Walmart. And we have plenty of Whataburger G-Bag Nation flags right now. I cannot say that's going to be the case for the entire afternoon. So this is your last chance to pick up the flag. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 7 minutes. Some great texts are coming in here. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. Yeah, 817, one of the best moments in Yankee history is when Feliz struck out Rodriguez to clinch our first trip to the World Series.
Yes, sir.
That was an unbelievable night in fan history as well. Lucius and I and a bunch of other guys stayed up.
You broadcast all night, right?
Yeah. It was awesome, I was there.
My liver, by the way, is still recovering from that event. Still recovering.
It was incredible, man. Tolos were bringing up a bottle of booze because, the stores had stopped selling. We wanted to keep the party going, and we did.
Man, those Tolos, they'll get you like at 9:40 in the morning. They'll hand you a beer and just keep handing you beers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happened to me. I had no intention of going to that parade. and having a drink. And next thing I know, I saw that G-Bag Nation flag.
Yep.
And it just banged. Something.
Well, you missed out on the vodka shots with us, and then it was just beer from that time on.
Jello shots.
Jello shots. There you go.
We know how to have a party. We know how to celebrate.
Oh, we know how to celebrate.
I think better than anybody. 469, I'm headed to Mexico next week to visit the longtime childhood best friend. Not only do we get to celebrate the Rangers World Series, we're hoping to double down and celebrate a Yankees World Series loss this year. That will be an iconic reunion of DFW friends and fans. 817, can't stand Luka. His attitude is hard to watch. Yeah, especially when he's missing threes. You know, when it goes down, I know it's fun. But, yeah, if you're not a Mavs fan, or even maybe if you are a Mavs fan, I could see being turned off. Elsewhere from the 469, the Mavs were already a bad matchup for Minnesota, but since the Cat trade, we aren't scared to attack the rim against their now big, where before Cat and Gobert made you think twice. Okay, I mean, I think what we saw yesterday was a sign that this squad is laser-focused. I think, you know, this is what I was hoping to see. And even if it is not the ideal version of Luka, I think what you're seeing is a super highly motivated version of Luka, maybe, you know, caring more early in the season than at any point in his career. But after going 1 of 9 from 3 against the Jazz, he missed his first 7 before making that big 3 late that made it 117-109. Said afterward, he just needs to get the rustiness out.
Yeah.
What do you think? Why is Luka missing so many threes? Is it any concern?
Well, I think we've seen him go through runs like this before where he can go a little bit cold from downtown. And, of course, he missed the training camp stuff with the calf contusion. So, I mean, for me, I don't worry about Luka because I know ultimately who he is and what he does as it pertains to scoring the basketball. So if he's a little bit rusty right now, it's fine. It's a long season. I love that they're winning sort of in spite of that a little bit right now. That's honestly a bigger encouragement because I know Luka, even in a game where he's not shooting the ball well, dagger moment, here we go, haunting the dreams of T-Wolves fans forever.
Yeah, yeah, he's got them. You know, he's got them like the Niners got the Cowboys.
Dude, they're living rent-free in Minnesota's head. But, I mean, I think he made a good point afterwards. He's like, rode back-to-back. You arrive at the hotel, what, 2:30 a.m.?
Yeah.
You have a game at 6:30 p.m. I mean, that was a gutsy win last night for a team that, yeah, Luka didn't play his best, but I think that's the beauty of it, is Kyrie was able to put the team on his back. P.J. Washington was outstanding.
Yep.
You had big moments from the rest of your supporting cast. I mean, the depth for this team, I mentioned it yesterday, how Luka now, the usage rate should go down. The stress that's put on him to have to just be amazing every single night, he doesn't have to carry that burden. So, yeah, I think he'll play himself into more consistent shooting. Not a concern. But to get that win against a team that you're probably going to see again in the playoffs in Minnesota, and now there's tons of doubt for them taking on the Mavs. I don't think they believe they can beat Dallas. I don't think they can.
Especially last night with the huge runs they went on shooting the basketball the way that they were going up. You know, double digits once and close to double digits a second time there in the second half. And the Mavs withstand those rallies and put up huge, huge rallies of their own. We're seeing Julius Randle, you know, a Texas guy, fit in seamlessly to what they have going on. But they're still just a little bit, you know, back of the Mavs. And the DiVincenzo addition, I think, is working out well for them. So it's not like the trade has shot them in the foot. It's just that you're seeing a team, I think, with the Mavs that has all the answers and incredible depth. Jason Kidd has at least 10 guys that he trusts. You know, it's probably 11, 12, 13 guys that he could have in a rotation. It's just which amongst those guys makes the most sense for the particular occasion. I loved how they showed they could win with offensive rebounding last night. Mm-hmm. You're in the fourth quarter. There's clutch possessions. You need a hoop. You know, it's one thing to commit to crashing the glass. Do you actually get it? Because if you don't, you're screwed.
Yeah.
You know, the other team's breaking out on you, and they have a chance to get an easy bucket on the other side if you don't get that ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the quality size that they have at so many different positions really showed through with those extra possessions that will really frustrate a team. You want to feel defeated, get a stop, and watch them, you know, just hulk over you for another rebound and reset the thing with time running down already on you. It's a difficult thing to win against.
Yeah, even in that Spurs game, in that first half, they weren't shooting the ball well at all.
Terrible.
But they were doing well on the offensive glass. forcing turnovers and doing some of the stingy stuff. I love seeing Najee Marshall with a big play there late in the game defensively. You can see the defensive prowess from that dude is real.
Sure did.
Yeah, that was huge, dude. Definitely highlighted the difference of the teams. Time to go back to 75 and Fitzhugh, where Lucius has your G-bag of the day.
Big Godzilla. Big Godzilla's coming. How y'all doing out there in Grand Prairie?
Amazing, man. Amazing.
Great.
People asking about you out here, Lucius. Where's LA?
I love Grand Prairie. You're on the south side, too, man. I'll tell you what. They built that little side up so much over there. It is unrecognizable. It blows my mind every time I drive by it.
That's how I felt driving in, Lucius. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
There's so much over there. There's everything over there. And all you have to do is park your car, and you can walk to everything over there. With scenic views. It's amazing. When I was in high school, all we had was when you leave the high school football game, you had the Whataburger. Or across the street, you had the Taco Cabana, and that's it.
Not a bad call
two
there,
for two.
Too.
Now they have everything over there, man. Shout out to the south side of Grand Prairie. All right, let's see here. Our winner so far comes from the KMC Masterpiece. That is a midday show here on 105.3. The Fan. They were talking to Cowboys COO Stephen Jones about that Trayvon Diggs kerfuffle.
Are you familiar with the incident between Trayvon Diggs and Mike Leslie yesterday? And if so, can you give us any feedback about that?
I'm not aware of that at all.
Okay, so Trayvon Diggs comes out and talks to Mike Leslie.
He's fired up.
His past about a tweet that he sent out asking what Trayvon Diggs was doing. And he said to Mike Leslie, "You don't know ball. You can't do what I can do." Mike Leslie responds, "I'd love to talk to you about it." And Trayvon Diggs walks back into the locker room and says, "You can talk about these nuts."
Yeah. Well, I don't know about it firsthand and not going to comment on that.
Okay. All right, Stephen, thank you very much for your time, man. We'll get back with you next week.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys.
Get Cowboys.
Incredible stuff right there.
He said,
it was almost like when Steven initially responded, like, I don't know anything at all about that. It was almost like, hey, he was like, good. I was hoping you'd say that.
Well. I'll tell you, I can see him looking up at the clock at the wall as soon as that question hit it. What? Let's see here. Well, Chuck, you sent me this one. This is amazing audio right here. ESPN This Morning, where Chris Mad Dog Russo.
Doggy.
Okay, yeah, he admitted to being stoned on air. Woolchuck, are you there? Woolchuck, hello.
I got you. Hey.
I'm in, Woolchuck.
I'm in.
Okay. Damn.
Did you hear me, Woolchuck?
Feel like I was talking to the wind there. And I'm not even looking at the screen, so, you know, I'm sorry about that.
But no, anyway. I got you. You were setting it up. I was waiting.
Yeah, you good, baby. So, yeah, Chris Mad Dog Russo, he admits to being stoned on air. Right.
Very professional.
Yeah, very unprofessional.
But we had a tough week. Tough week, my rear end. You played in Tampa on Monday night, and you went to Cleveland. Yeah, but what's the big deal? Wasn't a Thursday night game? That is as bad a loss as you can ever have. And I must be an idiot. When I came on here, I must have been bored or something.
Must have been gummies.
I had a gummy this morning. I'm flying.
I was flying.
Yeah, right before he did the Yankee nonsense, I said, let me go gobble one. And I went back with Mendoza and I took a gummy. But the bottom line is.
Don't drag her in.
I did. She saw it.
She saw it. Gummies in broadcast.
He's flying.
He's flying.
It's like the Anthony Richardson thing. You know, you just got to lie about that one. Don't be that honest.
There you go. Thank you, sir. There was a lot going on in that audio.
Yeah.
My man, Chris Mad Dog Russo, first of all, a pothead always admits to himself. Like, he always tells you the truth. He will always tell you that he's high. Hey, man, what's taking you so long with that menu? Oh, sorry, man. I'm stoned. I'm sorry about that. You know what I mean? A drunk will never tell you that he's drunk. Oh, sorry. I bumped into you. I'm drunk. Why'd you bump into, you know, whatever. Why'd you crash the car? They never tell you that. A pothead will always admit that they're high. And he snitched on Jessica Mendoza. Did you hear that at the very end? He snitched on her.
Yes.
Yeah, don't drag her into this.
Come on.
Threw her under the gummy bus.
Now I want to know if she took a gummy.
And they got a little gummy club there.
That's what are y'all backstage taking gummies back there?
I think they were. Yeah.
Probably. Do you have any openings?
Just pass around. Have any openings?
It helps him deal with Stephen A. every morning.
I knew I was like that baseball channel.
They have great analysis.
Let's see. Yeah. Pothead would always admit that they're high. Let's see here. Oh, yeah. By the way, Jessica Mendoza, I'm a stand on business.
Yeah.
She's a fine broadcaster, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like what she brings to the table. Yeah, very talented attributes. Former softball player. Mm-hmm. She's great at what she does. Let's see here. Hey, did anybody fall asleep in class, and did your teacher have something weird to do about it?
Yes.
What happened, man?
Well, at a time where I fell asleep, but I tell you what, my famous story about somebody else falling asleep, we were at a team meeting, real quick, at LSU, and we were watching film, cold room and all that, naturally just fall asleep. Lights come on, and the coach goes, John Hazard goes, John! And he popped up and he opened his eyes and he said, sorry, coach, I was just praying for the team.
Sorry, coach. That's a great answer.
Coach, I was just praying for the team.
Yeah,
he had his eyes open. But, yeah, no, it's hard to stay awake.
Not eighth grade health class, I had my first migraine headache and I didn't know what was going on. My vision was blurry. Yeah. I was nauseous. And my head was down and I'm covering my eyes. And he's like, get your head up. And I'm like, man, I really can't. I have a headache. And he kept yelling at me. And finally, he just let me go to the health class, the health room, nurse's office.
They got you lay down?
Yeah, let me go home.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big win.
Yeah, but I didn't know how to communicate that it's not a regular headache. Trust me, I would rather have this not be happening, sir.
Man, I'd fall asleep and then wake myself up snoring. You know, and you're like, oh my god,
yeah, catch yourself.
Somebody hear that? Mm-hmm. Is everyone looking at me right now? Then that was always
drooling.
Not
you're
a good feeling.
On yourself?
I was always a big bedtime guy. You know, I liked it. 9 p.m. Boom, I was out. You know, so by the time school showed up in the morning, I was fine.
Yeah, I used to think it was a setup because why are you making it so cold in here?
It is cold.
It is hard to stay awake when it's that cold. All I want to do is just bundle up, lay down, and go to sleep. Get cozy, man. Yeah. We used to have a high school teacher. He would slam the book on the floor if you fell asleep.
Jeez,
you wake up. Or if you are a real knucklehead in class and you fall asleep all the time and you're just a bad student, he will slam the book on the desk. Bam! Make your head bounce a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we got a college professor right here, though. He wakes up students by singing emo punk songs.
Structure and syntax are, of course, very important when making a compelling argument. Do you have that time to listen to me whine? Look at the thing and everything all at once. When you're writing an essay, don't
forget. He just goes right back, goes right to, back to it.
Green Day, right? Green Day?
Man, I don't know which one's which right now. I've had too many gummies, Broadus.
Okay.
I've had way too many gummies. I even told that to Carter back here. I looked at Carter and said, I probably went above my limit today, Carter. I'm just letting you know, bro.
There's
between you and I.
Carter just keeps shooting baskets behind you, doesn't he?
Yeah, that is our honesty right there, Eric.
It's a good bit. Carter's like, is it 5 o'clock yet? Sorry, it's my break time.
He said, oh, well, you handle it well there, Lucius. I said, my heart is going Here's that college professor again.
Introduction is a robust predictor of reading comprehension at all levels, including primary education. Don't waste your time on me. You're already the voice inside my head. No, that was kidding.
They like
pretty
that
good.
One. Yeah, they good like stuff. That one.
Is it our champ or is it one of the two very, very fine challengers here today? KMC with Steve Jones, ESPN, a Mad Dog Russo, college professor waking up kids with emo punk songs. I'm going for the Mad Dog here today, Chief. How about you?
Going with Hagee.
Lucius?
Yeah, KMC Masterpiece.
Wolchuk?
Give me Hagee.
Brian?
Mad Dog and Lucius.
By a score of 3-2, still your G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Kevin and Corey. Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys.
Go get Cowboys. Yeah. Talented broadcaster there, Corey Majors. spinning out the catchphrases on you.
Yeah, college. Are you embarrassed? Should have been t-shirts.
Are you embarrassed? That drop tickles
me. Get your
cinnamon
grits.
Yeah. Cinnamon flavored grits.
Where are we going next, Chief? College football hump day Darty featuring unruly Aggies and the Travis Hunter legend. My gosh, this thing continues to grow by the second. That's next year in the nation.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation live in Grand Prairie at the Whataburger off 161 here by Walmart. 2630, 161, and there are 12 Whataburger flags remaining. Okay, so get here quickly. We've given away over 100 already, okay? There's Trayvon Diggs, Mike Leslie news that we have to get to just very briefly, and then we'll get to the college football daytime dart.
Oh, this is exciting.
It's so good. Our buddy Joseph Hoyt, who's with All City covering the Cowboys, put out Trayvon Diggs talked with the media today. He apologized to Mike Leslie, saying that he let his emotions get the best of him. He has a picture of Leslie and Diggs talking with one another. Trayvon also gave him a gift. It was nuts, of course, which I think is incredible. I mean, well done, Trayvon Diggs.
Yes, hopefully that's an olive branch that can begin the healing process between media and Cowboys. And we'll have more on that a little bit later on. Here's Eric Chiafalo live from Whataburger in Grand Prairie.
Yes, sir. All right, here it is, your college football hump day, Darty. And speaking of Darties, the Texas A&M police report throughout the game the other night.
Oh, we had a special one, didn't we?
There were some good ones.
We have some possession up in the stands.
We did. We did. You know, the Aggies are all about, like, howdy, yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
Yeah, very polite folks.
Gig-um. That's right. Very, very, very polite folks. But, you know, I think the Johnny Manziel era, you know, I think really became contagious for some people. And so this is all over the course of just a 50-minute period during the game. Aggie police tweeting out. I love that they tweet. They give you like a play-by-play.
They give you a play-by-play.
Of all the debauchery that's going on within Kyle Field, it starts with Section 234, subject throwing beer on fans. Ejected.
Oh, that was an LSU fan probably.
Do you think Johnny was a turning point here as far as into deeper degeneracy for the A&M fan experience?
Okay, I don't know that. It's just sort of my hypothesis. Bronson could probably speak on this a little bit better.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Johnny brought a different level to the game.
Cranked things up a little bit.
Yeah.
A couple of notches.
Johnny was a master partier. Yeah. There's no
Johnny
doubt
had some
that.
Fun.
I'm not a problem drinker partier. I'm just, you know, living like the Beatles.
That's right.
People are jealous.
Yeah. 13 minutes later, the next tweet. Responded to unruly and intoxicated subject. Section 408 attempted to locate a sober friend, but was unsuccessful. Arrested for public intoxication.
Oh, man.
Hashtag BTHOLSU. They tag everything with
BTHO. Beat the hell out of LSU.
Which is a nice touch.
It is a nice touch.
Section 336 brought us. Subject arrested for possession of the CO cane.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Hashtag BTHO LSU. That was not Johnny, but
that was the LSU
again,
section.
You can understand.
That makes some sense.
We were all doing it that day.
You don't need that this year. The team's actually good.
Yeah, it is.
Are you at your seat consuming? Are you getting caught in the bathroom with this? You know, I'm just trying to figure out how exactly you're. I don't know.
Like,
I'm not getting frisked. I've never seen like a camera flash into the crowd and see anybody. You know. Snorting things.
Nah, it's usually dudes in the bathroom stall.
Is that usually how it goes?
I wonder what they're doing in there.
You see multiple feet in the bathroom stall. There's a line for the bathroom. They in there holding it up.
Yeah. Like, is that a four-legged guy? Oh, no, that's two dudes doing blow. Yeah. Get out of here, jerks.
You could do it at your seat, couldn't you?
No.
And finally.
Yeah, you could. Couldn't you, Lucius?
You shouldn't.
In front of people, you're just going to, like, when you got the one on your thing on your chain when you just unscrew it and just.
Yeah.
What you got going on?
I'm just saying, man.
Just get to it.
You got that long fingernail you kind of use, you know, kind of put in the fingernail and go for it.
I don't think you can do that.
All right, what sporting event do you want to go?
What sporting event do you want to go to, Lucius?
We're about to hit some Mythbusters here. Get ready.
Finally, Tony Montana Cowboys media.
Mad Dog's rubbing off on you, huh?
Hey, the older you get, the less time you have, man. Yeah. Seriously.
Brightest, I'm going to crash out. Just do cocaine in the stands.
Yeah. I just tell you.
Just throw it all away at the end, Brightest.
All those Fridays I've listened to your warnings, I'm going to have to establish dominance somewhere.
I'll be the one to subtract.
Finally. finally, we had intoxicated subject section 132 released to sober friend.
There we go.
So that's what I guess that's what you need.
Sober friend at the A&M game.
That's the key.
Designate you as sober friend.
Babysitter of the week. That should be like a fraternity freshman orientation kind of deal that you have to do.
Yeah. Pledge.
Thank you.
That's why I feel bad for that other guy, because he's looking for his friend and couldn't find his friend.
Yeah. They might have turned his back on him, though.
He's
not my guy. No, no.
Too washed. I'm not carrying him back to the car.
I'm not carrying him around all night. Us. Yeah, there you go.
He's scaring the hoes.
We can't be having that. That's a party foul. That's a little bit crossing the line there.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we also have the Travis Hunter stuff this week. Of course, he gets
a good player.
He's an incredible player, and now he's the first player in Big 12 history to be named both Offensive and Defensive Player of the Week in the same season. And The Athletic has a really awesome article, kind of deep dive on him and his backstory and stuff. And one of the interesting things, other than just his general numbers, you know, because he was the number one recruit. He was supposed to go to FSU, but then he has...
Jackson State.
He ends up... Exactly. He links up with Dion, and he's like, wow, my coach could be the perfect example of what I want to be, which is an all-time two-way player in the sport, and that's where he's headed, at least at this point. And in high school, it was no different. His numbers were pretty off the chain. And this year, he's played 414 snaps on defense, 430 on offense.
Wow.
That's 210 snaps more than any other player in college football this season, which is actually surprising. I'm like, you feel like it would be even more than that, like only 200 more. But this
and plays at altitude.
Yeah.
If you think about where he
that's a great point.
He plays where thin air is. This guy plays all those snaps up there.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because this dude is in ridiculous shape, and it's obvious. I mean, it's almost ridiculous to even say that, because of course he is. But part of the story here is in the summer of 2018, the coach that ends up being the high school football coach for Travis Hunter receives a call. And it was about the rising ninth grade superstar, really athletic kid, who of course ends up being Travis Hunter. And so he ends up meeting Travis, and he says, when I met him, I just asked him, I said, are you a baller? Just kind of messing around with him. And he just kind of not rolled his eyes, but he just gave me this look, and he says, baller? You haven't seen a baller until you've seen me.
And let's go.
This is ninth grade, like 15 years old, Travis Hunter. Well, then... the coach takes note of that confidence, and he says, all right, we'll show up tomorrow morning for our conditioning test.
Mm.
And this is the test that all the players had been training together since the first week of the summer, spent every Tuesday running 200-meter dashes to prepare for the dreaded fitness assessment. To pass the test, you had to run a series of six 200-meter dashes, and you had to do it in 32 seconds or less each time. And you would have a 1 minute break in between each run.
There you go. Okay.
So we kind of had a similar.
That's fair. No, that's fair. That's fair.
So so he said, I asked him, I'm like, Travis, are you in shape? Are you going to be ready to do that? And he goes, oh, no problem, coach. I can do that easy. So I'm thinking, yeah, he's going to run one or two, and then he'll be throwing up everywhere. Next morning, Hunter ran his first 200 with the Eagles defensive backs, a group of fast, athletic, and experienced players. The quote is, he smokes everybody. Bam. And I thought, well, he's done. This kid ain't going to be able to finish. Then the second 200 came around, boom, smokes everybody. And I walk up to him, I say, are you all right? And he's just standing there, he's not even breathing hard at all.
Oh my goodness.
And he goes, coach, this is nothing. Let's go again. By the end of the test, seniors were splashed out on the track, exhausted and in pain. Hunter, meanwhile, ran every 200-meter dash in 28 seconds or less, shattering the 32-second requirement. I've been doing the conditioning test for 20 years, the coach said. I've never seen anybody do this. I'm like, this guy's going to be special. And I knew it right there.
Wow.
And that was him at 15 years old.
It's built different.
That's incredible. You know, some people are just built for that cardio and that long haul. And that's, you know, that's what I was thinking with Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. This is a guy who's on the other end of that spectrum, right? And if you are on the other end of that spectrum, you have to do everything in your power to try to get to like 50% of where a guy like Travis Hunter is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I guarantee he hasn't been training for that drill. He is just a more fine-tuned athlete than 99.99. He's the Herschel Walker,
you know,
where doctors are going to study him one day and be like, he breaks the rules of what we thought a human would fall into the range of.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any ridiculous genetic freak, all these athletes, your speed, superhuman speed. We see guys with, like, Shaquille O'Neal, superhuman, like, out of this world. Mm-hmm. What are we talking about? And this dude's, like, VO2 max or whatever it would be, genetically, is just on another planet.
He would dominate the Tour de France clean.
Right.
You know?
Well, I've run marathons with Kenyans, where they start 6 minutes ahead of you and then finish 13 miles ahead of you.
Wow.
You know, like, they're coming home on the as you're
they're
as
doubling
you're,
you
as yeah. you're Stamina. Going exactly as you're finishing halfway of the marathon, they're done.
So I know we got to go, and we're live at Whataburger here in Grand Prairie. Just a couple of flags remaining. We're out. We're out of flags. Okay, wow. In under an hour, wow. over 100 flags, the most coveted flag.
Thanks, folks.
Would that change your guy's mind about can he play both ways?
No, because – well, I know he can. I mean, he's proving it right now. It's just over the long haul. How long can you actually do it? He has his
he
numbers
– he
his,
might be.
His
he
numbers
be.
His numbers went down his senior year a little bit. Yeah. Still gaudy, but he missed some time. Inevitably, shoulder. You're yeah. going to just – you're going to stack up these bumps and these bruises, and I think that he can be a two-way player, but I don't think he can be the full-time two-way player that he is right now, where he's playing every snap on both sides of the ball. I don't think you can do that very long.
Yeah, not even Deion did. It was situational.
Could you put him on play defense on third down?
Yeah, I think situational.
Just put him on third down.
Absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it. You're only playing third down, bro.
Okay, we're live Whataburger Grand Prairie, and it's time now for the NFL News of the Day. Well, Chuck, where are you taking it?
All right, we got the Fountain of Youth, trade rumors, and an Anthony Richardson update. That is next.